Guys, welcome to Years in Between with me, Loretta Maria.
And me, Cynthia Joey.
This is a podcast where we talk about our thoughts, feelings, and experiences in the years in between.
How have you been?
Yeah, I've been good. It's not been too long since I've seen you.
So yeah.
I feel even better that I get to see you earlier than I normally do.
A week full of double.
Exactly. But yeah, nothing particular to like shout about per se. Haven't had badminton yet again, so I can't really touch on that.
Makeup looks good today.
Thank you.
I really complimented her like enough times.
Yeah, she was like, guys, she was filming me on the road where the road works were, so cars were just stood there, and I'm just like,
why can't I appreciate my pretty cousin?
Thank you, I appreciate that, but please, I'm a bit shy for that one. But one thing I did do is I walked from here, like walked from home to work.
Yeah, you wait.
Like walk back.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, you said this last week, you wanted to do it.
Yeah, I wanted to do it and I did it, but I walked part way to work. So I walked from here to the station that I need to get to, which is like a 7:10.
Hi, girl, you are an early bird.
I was probably gonna say, oh, that's actually quite nice, but yeah, it's like a 30-minute walk, but I just didn't know how long it was gonna take me, so I wanted to give myself enough time in case. So yeah, 30 minutes to the station, and then I got the train. But then on the way back,
what time did you get to work?
20 to 9. So wow. I had like 20 minutes like before I actually started work. But the tube's quite quick. And then on the way back from work to like near where my station is, I walked it. And it was only like 40-minute walk. I thought it was gonna take way longer.
Mm.
It was really nice. But yeah, that's one thing I was like quite proud about. But
yeah.
About yourself, my dear?
I'd say this week has been quite insufferable in terms of like my headaches.
Oh yeah, she has mentioned that they've been coming back quite a lot.
Yeah, so this week I've literally been like kind of on edge. I don't know what the day is going to look like.
Mm.
And it can cause some sort of anxiety.
Mm.
But I'm not trying to like dwell in that. So I'm just like praying that every day is a day that I don't get.
It must be so stressful, and I'm assuming stress might be a contributing factor, so it's like,
yeah,
anxiety, stress, all like,
yeah.
Oh, my sweet girl.
But it'll be fine. Yeah.
You're getting it checked out though again, aren't you?
Yeah, did an eye test on Wednesday, new glasses, so
stronger. Yeah. Prescription.
Stronger.
Yeah.
Got 2-for-1 though, which is good.
Glasses are so expensive.
I know.
Guys.
I got one kind of lime green. It wasn't lime green, it's like sage green. Mm-hmm. And I got another that was light pink.
Mm, yeah. That would be so cutesy.
I know, right? So I'm excited to.
How much were they? Like the, even though it was buy one get one free, how much was it?
In total, I paid £155. Yes. That includes my eye test and the
UV. That was so cheap compared to what I had to pay.
Yeah, the first time I got glasses, I got swindled. I paid £190.
That's still so much cheaper, bro.
What did you pay?
Like £300.
Mm-hmm.
Nah.
Why?
They violate. At least you got an eye test and then they said like, to
did
buy the glasses.
Did you get some Gucci glasses? Or
no, I didn't. They're so such meaty glasses. And they like, they said you want the anti-glare to see how
I
work off screen.
Yeah.
So I thought maybe that's what. No, bro. I guess I got 2-for whatever plus the thingy and that basically. It came to like £280 or £290.
Damn, bro.
Wild like that.
No, that's crazy. The time I got I paid £190, that was only for one pair. So I probably did get swindled in that sense. Or maybe they didn't have the offer of 2-for-1. But
have I worn them since?
No, that happened to my brother.
Mm. I didn't need them like you would need them. Yeah. Today, like it wasn't.
But I didn't need my glasses as much when I first got glasses back in 2019. They just said only wear it when you're concentrating on like the screen.
Mm.
So fares. But lately it's like if I don't wear it, I'm pissed.
Mm.
Anyways.
I was scared about that too, so I feel like I was a bit apprehensive to actually.
Like, yeah, because the thing is, when you start to wear glasses, your eyesight doesn't get better, they just become reliable, like reliant on your lenses.
Exactly.
And yeah, but £90 for the green glasses and £70 for the pink ones.
Okay. I didn't want you to pay more, but I was expecting like a big price where I could almost feel validated with my expenditure. Really? But this was years ago, so I'm over.
Yeah, that's me, but nevertheless, I'm grateful for life.
Amen.
And for the people around me.
Amen.
And yeah, for the workplace that I work in, like, despite, you know, dance, they've been really, like, accommodating.
Yeah. We love that.
Yeah.
We love a workplace that actually is, like, recognise humans as humans and they can have, like, health moments that they need to attend to. It's not everyday grind and make money.
Exactly. You know, so yeah.
Side note, guys, her foot hit the floor today. She rubbed her foot, dragged her foot.
Why are you embarrassing me?
No, because
why
are you embarrassing? It was so funny.
No, it wasn't. Why are you embarrassing me? It was such an embarrassing moment, guys. Like,
the way her body jumped.
Yeah, literally, it was like disgusting. I don't like, Lyrisha knows that I don't like my foot touching.
She doesn't like, obviously, she's like dirt. You're very like a clean person.
Yeah, but I am. But I don't like my feet being wet. I don't like my feet touching, like...
I mean, remember, we did the thing, it was like, would you rather have wet socks or thingy? You chose wet socks. No, no, yes, you chose thingy in your teeth. Yeah.
So, no.
And it was outside Blank Street. We're
it was so
Street.
Embarrassing.
Like, the thing is, it wasn't even embarrassing. It was more so like...
The guy behind us saw.
He wasn't there at that point. He'd already moved to, like, you really told him that the line's there. So there was no one behind you.
Are you sure it happened? Did it happen before or after?
No, there was
that?
No one behind you. I saw, like, there was no one behind you.
Yeah, there was no, but wasn't he by the car? Like, I don't know.
No, he wasn't. He was in the shop buying his drink.
Oh, it is. Okay,
fine. And what did you, actually, I was going for that out there.
Well, yeah, I found the cashier really cute.
I was going to say that, and what else? Guys, her tongue did that.
Yeah, I was like, can I have a latte? Wait, did I say?
Like a cold set. I don't know, you said it in a way where it's like, you're trying to say like a carrot. What did you get?
I got a chai latte, but I didn't say chai latte at that. I said like, can I get a chai latte?
He was a good looking cashier. Though,
he was a good looking brunette.
Yeah.
He was brunette.
Yeah, he looked like he was like fresh out the shower esque vibe.
Yeah. I can appreciate a good looking brunette.
And he had like curls, but it was like, you know, like he had it freshly cut.
Yeah.
Yeah, so when that happened, I was just a bit like.
I'm going to give him the name of Louis.
He does look like he would be called Louis.
Or
like. Yeah, what the hell?
Yeah.
That actually suits him, how he looks so well.
If you're seeing this.
What, you want to say you are?
No.
That you sent to Joey, yeah?
No. That's not, no. We don't want that, no. God has to lead the person, sorry.
But what if God leads him to watch this video? He stumbles across his social media and he watches this video and then he messages you. Is that
What world full of possibilities?
This one was possible.
Okay, so before we get into the book, right? Mm-hmm. I already debriefed Loretta about this dilemma, but I just wanted to get your view. Because we did kind of share, but you didn't really let share. It was in a bookstore.
Yeah, I was trying to look for the author that we were looking.
Yeah. So I watched the Uncut podcast with my sister earlier this week. And the dilemma that they had, I don't know if this is a recent episode, but they had, in my opinion, do you know, have you watched that podcast before?
I've heard of it, but I haven't watched it.
One of the guys, Ugandan. Yeah. Ugandan. Find you on the map. Yeah, so they had them as like guest co-hosts. Mm-hmm. And the dilemma was, right, I'm going to try my very best to explain this in a way that everyone would understand, guys. So give me a minute. So the husband wrote in to the podcast and said him and his wife were planning a birthday party for his wife's mother's 70th birthday.
So mother-in-law, yeah.
We're planning a birthday party for his mother-in-law, right? And this was planned in advance. Like, people were flying in from the US, Nigeria, to come and celebrate his mother-in-law, right? Unfortunately, his mom died before the said birthday party.
Yeah.
So let's say the birthday party was on a Saturday, but his mom died on a Friday. Cool. So he said to his wife, how are we going to tell everyone that the party's cancelled? The wife was like, why do you think the party's cancelled? we're still going to go to a party. So the husband felt away about that. He went to the wake with his family. I'm assuming that they're Muslim, because the wake for someone to die and then get buried the next day, I think Islams do that.
Or maybe, I don't know if it's Jewish as well that do that.
Yeah. Okay, but the mother was buried, like, I don't know the timestamps. Like, I don't know if it was the day before the mother died, that's when the party was, or a week before, whatever. Anyway,
it was a close time for it, essentially.
The day of the mother-in-law's party was the day of his mother's wake.
Okay. Yeah. That, you didn't mention that to me the first time.
I didn't, yeah. Oh. So I don't know the time. Like, I don't know if she died.
Mm.
But it was close. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Let's just say a week. I think that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know. So, okay,
go
cool.
Watch the podcast to get the exact if you want it.
Exactly. So, cool. He went to the wake by himself with his family.
Mm-hmm.
And the wife went to her mother's party
mm-hmm.
with their kids and her siblings.
Mm-hmm.
That's the dilemma.
Yeah. So, I like how you feel.
Yeah, what are your thoughts?
Initially, when Cinta told me this in the bookshop, I was like, I hear where the husband's coming from in a sense of like, he's in mourning, he's in grief, like there's not really a space for celebration or wanting to, I don't know, celebrate someone else's life
mm-hmm.
when you've lost your mom, like somebody who's so significant in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Then also on the flip side, it's like, as somebody, obviously, people handle grief differently, so mm-hmm. he might not be seeing it from this perspective if it's so raw. But it's like, if you've just lost your mum and then your wife is celebrating the life of her mum, why would you then be like, let's cancel her celebration?
Yeah.
Tomorrow's not promised. Mm-hmm. So if, God forbid, something happened to his mother-in-law
mm-hmm.
and now his wife's grieving her mum,
yeah.
would you not feel like, oh, I stopped you from celebrating her life because of the life I lost, like my mum's life that's been lost?
Mm-hmm.
But it's also like, I don't know, maybe, I don't know, that's it, so techie.
It's a tough one.
What did you think?
My sister and I, like, were discussing it throughout like the podcast, and initially I was like, why wouldn't the party be cancelled? Like, his mum died.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, as you were saying, yeah, just because his mum died doesn't mean that you can't celebrate your mother-in-law's life.
Mm-hmm.
And people were flying in for the party. The party was planned in advance. Like, just, like, your world is crushing down doesn't mean you have to crush other people's worlds down.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of retracted my statement of, like, why wouldn't the party be cancelled? I came to the conclusion of, like, okay, I think the wife could have, like, attended both the wake and the celebration, although it is a contrast. She could have been more, I don't know, because we're not in the marriage,
we
don't know how supportive she was, but it was quite sad to hear that he went to the wake by himself.
Yeah, because you want your person there with you.
Yeah, exactly.
And like the kids to like appreciate their grandma.
Yeah, grandma, yeah.
And then also, I know obviously it's the mum's birthday, but it's like maybe some acknowledgement for the life that was
lost.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because cool, it's your mum's birthday, but it's like he lost his mum too.
Yeah, exactly.
And then coming home from that event of celebrating the mum's mum, and then him coming home from the wake of his mum, I feel like there would be some sort of like friction there, because it's like,
I think
you've come
friction.
Back from celebrating life and now I've come back from mourning life and it's like, how can
it's
we
like, water,
sit
like,
in this? Because maybe she wants to come and be like, oh my gosh, you know, like, the thingy.
And
then he's there like, yo, like the weight of not having, losing a mum, I can't even imagine.
I don't even want to imagine such a thing, so I know like death is inevitable, but it's not something I think about.
Yeah.
I feel like you know what, let's just move on. Because I've been starting to like, I can't.
But I definitely think space should have been held mm-hmm. for both situations. It could have been handled differently for sure.
I think especially
with the kids in the equation.
The husband did mention in the dilemma that their kids hearing the loss of their grandmother, paternal grandmother, really upset them.
Mm.
So it's like, why not give them the opportunity to like say goodbye one last time at the wake? Like, I don't know, we don't know how old the kids are, but I think, you know, that
was there no way, obviously, I know you mentioned like for religious reasons they had it very soon, But like, I guess I was thinking, is there no way they could have like moved the wake? Because I'm assuming the mother's birthday had been planned for months. Yeah. And like how people booked flights to come.
Planned in a year, not in a year.
Yeah, so that's not like, if it was a thing where everybody was in the country and people were maybe driving down from different parts, that one I'd be like, okay guys, I'm so sorry, but can we move it to the next weekend? But because people have spent hundreds of pounds coming in from a different country, it's just like, obviously you can't control what happens in life, but that's also like, that's people's money, like they've come to, you know, so.
It's a hard one. But my sister and I thought that there may have been a crack in the marriage.
100%, I feel like they
way before the mother's passing. Not necessarily way before, that's the assumption. But the fact that he just said to the wife, oh, so how are we going to tell people it's being cancelled, kind of suggests that there was a breakdown in communication. Because I don't know, obviously we don't know, we're not them, but it doesn't seem like there was a conversation had about how they're going to maneuver the situation. It was like, well, my mum was dead, so how are we cancelling the party?
Yeah, I feel like if it was approached differently, maybe like,
she may have received it.
Yeah, because communicate, like the way you, it's not even what you say, it's how you say
how you
and
say it.
Recognition of how they would like receive it. Because it's your wife or it's your husband, like you know them as a person. So if you're now just coming on like, yeah, this has happened, we're not doing that. What do you mean we're not doing that? Like, I understand, but it's like,
what do you mean?
Yeah, but if you came on
alive,
it,
like,
sorry,
my mum's alive and I want to celebrate her.
But it's like, if you came on like, oh, like, I'm really struggling with the whole thing of my mum having like left this earth, but then having to smile in people's faces, celebrating the life of your mum. I understand it's your mum, but like, I need you there at this thing. Or da-da-da. And then, like you said, they could have split it where she's like, okay, we'll go to yours, you can be there for the whole day, then I'll come.
Yeah.
Like, at some point, stay there for a couple of hours and go back to my mum's thing. Like,
do
you know what I mean? Or maybe be there the whole morning, cut cake with your mum, all of that, and then be there towards the end of his, like, the wake, so that you could, he can have someone to go home with.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And, so, like, to go to a wake by yourself, I thank God that we haven't had that experience.
Yeah.
But I could imagine, like, just going there without your family, your family that, you know, in marriage you become one. So going there, like, as a half.
It's very much so.
There's no unity.
Exactly. Like, when you're feeling like you're going to fall apart.
Who's there to hold you up?
Yeah. Like, I imagine there's people, obviously, yeah, maybe if you had siblings,
but
whatever,
not,
but it's
like
different.
Like, significant other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, but, I didn't mention this. The husband did say that his wife and his mom didn't have a good relationship.
That adds a whole other thing.
Yeah.
That adds a whole.
I literally remembered now, like,
that's a whole other layer to it.
Yeah.
Because if the mother-in-law was disrespectful to the wife throughout the whole marriage, or didn't like or didn't try, that adds a
maybe
whole other the daughter-in-law's efforts, then if it's my mum's, that's not my portion, but if it's her mum's birthday, but it's, again, you have to look at it from the lens of, cool, I may not have liked this person, but this person meant a lot to the person that I love.
Yeah, and this person raised the person that I love.
Exactly. So you just have to put your big girl pants on.
Yeah.
In the same way that you stayed in that marriage despite the fact that your mother-in-law,
true,
you know, he's breaking down and he needs, you know, sickness and health, whatever. Like,
yeah.
So.
Interesting. But it's a nice segue to go into the book that we're reading.
Yeah, as you guys know, Stay With Me by Ayobami Adebayo. Yeah. Sorry, we don't have to, I have the book on my phone.
Yeah,
like,
same. We don't have physical book yet.
We tried to, that's why we went to the bookshop, because we wanted to get it physically, but then her other book, was it Silent Something?
Silent Heart, something, State, I don't know.
It wasn't
Sound
there.
Of Silence, or something like
that. Yeah. But it wasn't there because we were like, oh, if we had the physical fresh and crisp,
yeah,
it would have been nice to.
But next episode.
Next episode.
But yes,
we've
perfect
read it,
segue.
The first three?
Yeah. First
for three episodes. What's wrong with me? Sorry.
First three chapters. Well, I've not finished the third chapter, but I know enough to discuss.
Yeah.
There's a lot to unpack.
Guys, it's such a good book.
It's already like, oh.
I was literally there like, wow.
Wow.
So the main character is.
Do you know?
Yujedi.
Yeah. Yejedi.
Is it Yejedi or Yejedi? It's Y-E-J-I-D.
Yeah, Yejedi.
Our Nigerian listeners, please, like, give us pronunciation. But
should
yeah.
you call her YJ?
Yeah, YJ, please. No, that's actually so bad. You know that when people shorten your name just because they can't pronounce your name? We'll try and find the pronunciation of it. What's it?
Yechedi.
And then Akin, her husband.
Her husband.
And then the husband's second wife, Funami? Funani?
No. Fumilayo. Fumilalo.
No, it's F-U-N.
Yeah,
something.
That's how you say Fumi.
But you said Fumilalo. What the heck?
Yeah, just... no, because look. Okay, wait.
I thought it was Funami, Funmi.
Yeah, Fumilayo.
Oh, I didn't see. I thought it was.
You don't say Funmi, say Fumi.
I thought it was like I didn't even see the name with that at the end. I only ever saw it with the Fumi. So it's Fumilayo.
Mm.
So Fumilayo, okay. But cool. Yechedi.
Yeah. How did like okay?
The way she sets it up, where she's like packing up to move.
Yeah.
And like she's been by herself for a while.
For a while.
It starts like, not current time, but it starts with her current reality.
It's like a journal.
Yeah. Exactly. And then she's like, oh, I'm going back to that place where
you left
like,
me.
Yeah. And she mentions like her kids, but it's like they're not her kids. I don't know if they because like. She had struggle having children.
Yeah, okay.
Like she was struggling to have children.
Yeah.
Trigger warning, guys, like you mentioned last episode. There's topics of infertility and such. Not infidelity, but I guess polygamy.
Mm, yeah. So, yeah, first chapter, we are introduced to her packing up, leaving. But it's kind of like a sorrowful.
Yeah.
Like.
She was like reminiscent of a time where it wasn't like she was like where she wasn't by herself and she was with her love.
And then, as women do, she just throws in the reason why they're no longer together. Like he says, "You left me because so."
Oh, yeah.
But Yechedi says that she was barren.
Yeah.
And her husband left her for another wife,
like
another
younger,
woman.
Yeah. Younger woman.
But obviously, we don't understand.
All the stuff, all the context of it at that point.
But when I read that, I was like, huh?
I was on TFL at that point.
Same.
I was just there like, I sat up I read it. I was like,
what?
Like, I obviously expected the whole
scandal
theme, like, the whole theme of, like, infertility and everything. But it's like, I didn't expect her husband to have left her because she can't have kids. And the way she described the love that they had, it was like, whoa. Cool, we get to the next
chapter
and it's a flashback
to
a time when she came to visit her in-laws.
No, they came to visit her.
And
her
okay, husband. And it was, she didn't expect them.
Yeah,
she was like,
because usually they would announce that they're coming.
Or like her husband would let her know by the way they're coming type thing. So she comes and she's like, oh my, like, what do you want to eat? Like, she's ready to cook whatever they want because they've got that type of relationship.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, no, like, don't worry type thing. They're like, and she was just a bit like...
You know, they fumbled when they said that. They should have ate before.
Exactly.
Anyways, we'll get into that.
And then she was just sort of like, what's going on? Because normally they're like, I want this, and she goes and she cooks it.
But they'll like, call your husband.
Yeah, like, come sit, like...
Yeah, and then we'll eat after type thing. So she goes to her husband, Akin, and she's like, oh... babe or whatever, do you know that they're here? And then he doesn't usually respond the way that he would have, like,
it's given that he knew.
Yeah,
so she was just there like
so she sat on the bed whilst he went downstairs to greet them, and then he called her name and she went downstairs, and obviously she went to her, not obviously, but she went to her husband, I guess, for like
comfort
and he
was
did not
stiff
comfort.
As a broad, and she said, hey, this is not what I'm used to normally. There's some sort of like embrace or acknowledgement, but she was there like, he's stiff as if he like knew.
Yeah,
like,
knew. And then who did she spot in the corner of her eye?
Pretty young girl.
Yellow bone is what she called her. Yellow.
Red lips. Yeah. And I was just there, like, she was there like, maybe I didn't notice her before, but this person that wasn't there is not there. And I just, wow.
They probably speak to in after they said, go get your husband.
Yeah. Because we'll be like,
she would have said, like, I saw this yellow girl.
Exactly.
She kept saying yellow.
She kept calling
I felt attacked. But,
sorry. It's not your portion.
It's not my portion, amen. But yeah, cool. So she spots, I mean, her name's Fumi.
Also, side note, I guess because of the time frame, there's like a cultural aspect. So we're not being disrespectful and saying, like, God forbid, we're not saying for the cultural aspect.
Yeah.
But it's just like, personally, we wouldn't do polygamy, either of us.
No.
Anyway, carry on.
No, we wouldn't. So cool. She spots Fumilayo, and then she's just like, why?
Yeah, why is she there?
Why is she here?
Because it's all suspect, remember, no food, husband moving stiff, now there's a young girl just being...
Yeah, with uncle and, well, no,
father-in-law. Two aunties.
Yeah, two, I don't know.
One's, well, I don't know who, one's his legit mum, the other's the stepmum. And
there's a second wife.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Okay, cool. So, Baba Lola, so I'm guessing that's his dad, Akin's dad, yeah. I don't know. But Baba Lola says, our wife, talking to Yechide, our wife, our people say that when a man has a possession and it becomes two, he does not become angry, right? And then Yechide says she nodded and smiled. Then he goes on to say, well, our wife, this is your new wife, as in introducing Fumilayo to Yechide to say, like, this is your sister wife.
And then she's there like...
Excuse me, ma?
She's like...
Pardon?
And I think she also looks to Akin to sort of be like, I'm shocked, we're both shocked, we clearly both know, but he doesn't give shocked, he gives, I knew about this,
yeah.
I'm just here to observe like and find it out.
He didn't look at anything.
And I think she goes to hit him, he catches her hand.
Yeah.
But because they're speaking, all the people that the family understand. No, wait,
before that, what did they say to Fumilayo? Go say hi to you.
Oh,
and then
Fumilayo's
at her knees. I think it's like a cultural.
Yeah, like she has to go and greet her.
Yeah.
But then obviously Yechide's like, I'm not trying to, what do you mean? Like,
introduce you to my
husband. Exactly. Yeah. So then she goes to like hit her husband, and her husband grabs her by the arm.
Yeah.
And like Cinta said, but then because they all speak Yoruba, and then she's saying this all to him in English. So they're like to Fumilayo, like,
what are they saying?
And then Fumilayo says, like, she called him, like, da, 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 da. And then they're like, oh my god,
hysterical.
How can you do this?
Yeah,
all of this, all of that.
You're disrespecting us,
exactly. Yeah, and it's like a whole thing. And then, yeah, she honestly, rightfully so, because what do you actually mean on a random day that I've come home, your family's all here, then you're just dropping that you're introducing a sister wife?
Because Yechide is unable to have children.
When she comes to, when she's coming down, like, they're talking and stuff, before the whole thing of, like, being like, oh, this is your sister wife and all that lot, she very much said, or maybe it was after, I can't remember, but she mentioned, like, how the whole thing of them being on a journey of, like, everyone's aware that she hasn't had kids before, or she can't, like, conceive.
Yeah.
And it's just from a place, she described it as though they were very understanding, from a place of, like, we're all, like, supporting you, we're all there for you. And then for this to happen, it's just, like, slap in the face, like, cold water thrown on her, like,
whoa. I even feel like with them being understanding and, like, supportive during the journey of her trying to conceive, I also felt like it was very, like, forceful rituals. Like, I know they said, well, Yechide mentioned that they'll pray to God, or they would fast for 7 days.
Yeah, and she fainted.
And then Mommy said, you're not ready to be a mother because you fainted after 3 days of fasting. Like, praying to God, fine.
And but, making her feel bad about it.
Yeah. But scripture, it was void. There was no mention of they lean on so-and-so scripture, they lean on God's word, because you should, if you're praying, you should, if you're fasting, you should. But it seemed like they were doing cultural sort of like remedies that kind of solves barrenness, which
I feel like
it was like
it put guilt on her for something she has no control over.
Exactly.
Like, obviously she wants to have, obviously, like, well, I'm saying obviously, but in the book you can tell she wants to have children. She wants to have children with the love of her life. Mm-hmm. It's not a thing of where she's out here doing all the things that would hinder, like
she's trying,
conception.
Yeah.
When she was with Mommy, it was just sort of like
her husband's mother.
Yeah. When she said the thing about, oh, you see, I've fasted all these times. Yeah. You can't fast this one time. If you're already fainting, how can you handle? Like,
and that's not scriptural at all. Like, there's stories in the Bible of barren women like Hannah or Sarah that literally wanted a child, and they prayed to God, and eventually they received the child. It was like depending on the Lord and praying to the Lord in full humility, but they were like, I don't know, using the act of fasting and being steadfast in that fast to kind of equate to readiness of being a mother, which doesn't make
there's a lot more to that. There's a lot of like biology that goes into that. That's right. Like,
they're completely disregarding her as a human that are going that.
But what I guess we don't know yet. Like, no, I guess we do know because they do mention the kids. Because I was thinking, but what if his like reproductive health wasn't 10-10 like, at the time?
Yeah.
What if it was him?
What if it was him?
But we don't know because typically in a lot of societies, I guess now as technology becomes a thing and we're moving away from that, but I feel like a lot of societies it still falls on the woman because obviously you can physically see when a woman's pregnant or when there's a child coming into the world. But it's like you're putting it all on the woman when really it could be the quality of health of like the man's sperm.
Yeah.
And that can change. Like in the same way that they were together, absolutely. It could change when with the next woman.
Absolutely. Like, I've heard, or I've learnt now, that if you're trying to conceive, I'm not a doctor, but if you're trying to conceive, the man should, the man should...
be the healthiest he's ever been for, like, a year before they start trying.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Because, like, well, again, we're not doctors.
We're not.
But I saw what it was like, the things like having preeclampsia, or like the level, if you have morning sickness and how bad, and the quality of the placenta comes down to
the health of the
sperm, and that obviously comes from
the man.
The man. And it's like, those are things that for the longest time wasn't, like, I guess, public knowledge or something that was known. Everything was like, oh, it's all dependent on the woman. The woman could be as healthy as she can be, but if the guy is...
It's partnership with
exactly,
the man.
Exactly. It's, like, literally a joint effort. Exactly. So why is it, I guess, seen from a perspective of conception happens? Oh, it's all woman.
Yeah.
No, it's your DNA too, so there's just as much your responsibility and your contribution to that whole creation and that whole development of that child.
Exactly.
As much as it is the woman. But,
And I, as I was reading the first three chapters, or two and a half, I was just like, I freaking, like, I don't know, we really just stay despite being uncomfortable and unhappy. Like, she's now presented with this sister wife. Obviously, we don't know yet because we've not read on. But my impression is that she's stayed despite not agreeing with the circumstance.
Yeah.
And it's like, why are elders so much involved in one's marriage?
Exactly, because once they're gone and it's just you and your person, then what then?
What then?
But what did she do? What did she do? When it came to serve food, what did she do?
Oh, Okay, so cool. We said in the beginning that she, we said in the beginning that she asked them, she offered them food when they came to the house, right? And then they said, no, get your husband, cool. So after all of this news was given to her, she was like, I'm gonna make you guys food, but I'm not gonna ask you what you want. I'm gonna make you what I wanna
give you. You don't deserve
exactly.
To put any suggestions
so, in. She got beans, bear in mind, she got beans that were
3 days old.
Three days old, she was gonna throw it away. She cooked that and made it into stew because I...
She added the fresh one and mixed it in with the old one.
Old one, yeah, cool. And she served it to them.
She didn't eat it though herself.
No, she served it to them. And then she was upset that her husband also declined.
Yeah, because he obviously knows the woman. Like, you know, like, what do you mean? She's there fuming about to slap him around the face. And then...
Yeah, she goes, let me go make you guys food. Cool.
Yeah.
So Akin eventually dropped them all home. He came back, and he was like to his wife, which is, what did you serve them? What did you serve them? Because they all had diarrhea. I mean, they had to, you know, do their dump on the side.
Like he said, I had to pull over so many times because they had to go.
And then she was like, bridegroom.
Yeah, cause, exactly, because that's what he is.
Yeah.
Because would you, the anger she must have felt.
Yeah.
And
it's
the thing
been
is,
muted in the time.
Exactly, and I don't know if you've got to that point. I don't want to say it, but like, I think it's in chapter 3 in the later part. I think, it's in chapter 3 where it's a flashback to when they first met.
Yeah, he's it's his perspective.
Yeah, it's his perspective.
Yeah.
And, like, he's literally, like, talking about how, like, he would
travel
all this distance to see her. Like, he was going above and beyond
when
to spend time with her.
When he saw her, he broke up with his girlfriend
that night.
That night. And went to go find Yajidin.
And it's just like you go through all this effort, and then because Ichide was still at uni at the time, he would go from the city, whatever, like I think it was like a couple hours or an hour or so, like he was traveling distance to go see her. And at one point she suddenly like said to him, no, I don't want to see you, and shut the door. And for like 11 days straight he went every time to try to see her. She denied him, she denied him. He was confused because he was like, what did I do? And then on the 12th day he went, and then she finally opened the door and said, oh, it's because she, no, she said, I don't do polygamy. And then he was there like confused, like, what? No, actually maybe he said, oh, he was like, oh, you were with the girl in my dorm, says that you were with her or something, or you're already married. And then she's like, I don't do polygamy. And then he was just there like, oh no, like what the hell, like I'm not married, I'm not secretly married, and I don't have anything, like I'm being so truthful. And then she was there like, this is your chance to like say everything, like if you have anything just put it on the table. And he was there joking, he was like, I don't, like I have like some dirty clothes at home, but like I don't have anything, all of this. And then she was like, oh, so someone owes me an apology. And then she was there like, oh, I'm sorry, like and they were all like, she leaned in all comforting, all cutesy. And then in that moment he's literally like, I'm gonna marry you, like he literally says that to her. And the fact that she literally said to him, I don't do polygamy, when they were young, before this became like the level of what it is, and now in knowing that when he met her and did all that effort to be with her, and then putting her in a situation where they're married several years in and getting a second wife because his mum is forcing him. Like his mum came every day for months to his workplace.
Every Monday,
without
every first Monday,
whether she was ill or not, would come with a new wife and be. And she said to him, "If you don't choose one, I'm gonna start taking them to your wife, and make her choose a second wife to take because she can't have, she can't conceive." And it's again, like, we're saying she can't, they can't conceive.
Mind-boggling. It's just like, where is the like empathy from the mother? Where is
the thing is, she had, it was given that she had empathy, but she got to, I think she was thinking it'll come to a certain point where suddenly they would be able to conceive. It was very much so like a time limited empathy.
But that's, oh, I think it goes back to, I think we've definitely spoke about this, but is that even true empathy then? Like, does she really have it? Does she even have it in the beginning?
I think maybe the novelty of it, maybe she thought, like, I think maybe her, I don't know whether it's her understanding of how like the whole thing of conception and the struggles that come with it, but yeah, I don't know, because maybe she just thought it was a phase of her not being able to conceive,
maybe,
and that it,
but they also accused Yechidi's mother of cursing Yechidi before she had died.
It's wild. Saying that you're like someone's mother cursed their own daughter
is wild,
with an inability to conceive. Like, do you think that, as on her perspective as a person who couldn't conceive, that is that something that she needs to hear while she's like from her mother-in-law,
absolutely,
while she's
not
trying to have a child? Like,
it's just, I guess it's mind-boggling. Like,
it's like cultural, but then it's also like religion, and then it's also like,
it's no,
elders,
it's not even,
and expectations.
That's not even religion.
Traditional,
sorry, that's cultural and traditional expectations. There's no religion aspects, religious aspects in it. The only thing is,
I also think it's
fasting,
just the older generation.
Yeah, the fasting and the praying to God. But also, you're praying to God, and I don't know, because I'm not like queen of prayers or whatever, but it doesn't seem like they're praying with the word, because they should have been mentioned of that, like we're leaning on this scripture, we're, you know, waiting with faith, but no.
But maybe they did, but they just didn't add it in the book. Maybe they were doing all that stuff, but I guess
maybe
the bits
did
that they mentioned just painted it as though it was like, I know, it was all her fault, and I didn't like that. It was just, it seemed very lonely,
isolated. Like,
and then the thing was the mother, because I believe Akin's mum was the second wife that his dad took, because the way he says that Akin is the first son of this family, of their family, and mentions the half brother, who she always, I think it was called Juan, I can't remember the name, but she was like, he was someone that she was he was always compared to growing up,
until
he tried to
learn trade trading.
Yeah, he went to trading school rather than university, so then she stopped comparing them at that point. But then now with the whole thing of not having
four boys,
yeah, not having kids, he's like, well, look at your like half brother, like he's got all these like four like kids, like four kids and four boys, man. Yeah. Like, but you still have none. Like all your brothers have children, but you don't. So it's like an overbearing sense of your it's like when you're younger and your parents are constantly on to you about something, and now you're an adult and you're like living your life, but they're still on to you. It's like, and it's, I guess it's the perspective of at that point, because it's also being, yeah, being the child of African parents, I feel like when your parents are on to you about something, it's like a, or like immigrant parents, it's a different kind of pressure. So I have empathy for him in that respect. But then it's also like, at what point do you put your foot down and say, this person's the love of my life, this is my marriage. I understand that you want grandkids, and like culturally, even when you said the description last week, like in a society where having children is you know, at what point do you say no? Like,
exactly. I think
all this stress and all this overbearing, like, involvement in the relationship, in the marriage, in their unity, is causing unnecessary stress that probably, not probably, most likely, most definitely, is adding weight to the stress that's causing them to be unable to conceive. Because whether there's other factors, stress is something that will only hinder it even more.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I don't know. Is there a point of putting your foot down, stepping up as a man, and saying that this is, like, absolutely, my thing? Or is it, like, conceding to the expectations of your parents, of your immigrant parents? I guess at that point they're not immigrant parents because they all live in Nigeria, but conceding to the expectations and will of your parents.
It should be vocalized from the very beginning, like, this is this is unfortunately the situation.
But would he be outcast from society then, because they live, like, it's their community?
I mean, he probably, he may be, but also he's married this woman, he's one with this woman, so he has to stand by this woman.
Yeah, I hear that. But they'll both be cast out of society.
Then they until have each
what
other.
If they suddenly have a kid and then boom, bow, what now?
Exactly. Then it's
they
like,
have to pretend everything's
okay. I always knew he was going to have a baby.
Yeah.
I always knew something
like,
was
like, I always prayed, I always prayed, I always did the little bit. It's like,
even at that point, just receive the fake love that they're giving you.
And just keep it stepping.
Yeah, because
it's one of the things where it's like you actually can't
just choose peace. Like, yeah, just choose peace.
You have to choose peace always. But so far, guys, the book is amazing. Like,
it is.
It's so,
like, I felt every single, I'm experiencing the emotions she may have felt whilst.
Like, I got hot.
Literally.
And I felt so sad for her when she was literally there. Just like when I read the whole thing of his perspective when they were young. And then when she literally just said, I don't do polygamy. And then this being the reality of her life years later.
Crazy. You know what, like, even in the first chapter when she said, no, Akin asked her in a fire, what would you, if our house was on fire, what would you rescue? And then,
which was moving all the stuff.
And then I think he got upset because she said, children or our kids. So he asked her, if our house was on fire, what would you save? Mm. And I think she replied,
I remember what you're talking about. You asked me what I would take out of the building if our house was burning. I didn't think about it before saying our baby, even though we do not have children yet. Something, you said, not someone. But you seemed a little hurt that when I thought it was someone, I did not consider rescuing you. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
So, wait, sorry.
He was upset that she would rescue their baby instead of him.
Can I add, may I just reiterate, their baby over a full grown man.
Yeah. He even has the ability to rescue the baby as well.
That's a crazy, like, why would, I, like,
you know, when she mentioned the whole nap thing, I know it's a, maybe insignificant, but shows to me that there was a breakdown in communication.
What do you mean with the lamp? That she wanted the lamp?
No, because he said, she said he got the lamp without telling her about the compromise. Like, they didn't discuss how they're gonna
I think that's the thing with relationships.
This
right?
Been going for a long time.
With relationships, it's all about consideration.
Yeah.
Like consideration and communication. Mm-hmm. Like as long as you're
double
there,
C.
Like big C's,
big C's. Double C's, not Chanel.
C's with the relationship.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, amen. Because if there's communication, like open communication, and there's that consideration of each other from mm-hmm. like both partners or both parties in the relationship, there's always gonna be like, you always like, the conflict resolution is gonna be 10-10. Like,
yeah.
No matter what, you always have that open back yeah. and forth, mm-hmm. that healthy back and forth.
To work out the situation
exactly.
together.
Exactly. And there's not gonna be any level of like, oh, like, why would you do that?
Yeah.
No, because they would have thought and considered
you
how you would have felt or what, like,
yeah.
if they were in your shoes, I wouldn't like it, so I'm not gonna do it.
Mm-hmm.
Communication, consideration.
That's what we're saying.
Take it or leave it. Anyway, your dilemma.
Take it or take it. Because we're not leaving it. Because we're not having... We can't, even this in this generation, we can't have relationships that are mirroring the ones that have gone ahead of us.
Because mm-hmm.
we could see, as children of...
The breakdown yeah, that can happen if you...
How it affects...
Things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, communication and consideration, you're taking it, you're swallowing it.
Yeah, inject it.
They say... Yeah. I'm going to say something bad, but... Okay, but I guess the dilemma is what the dilemma is. Like, Mercy's married, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mercy and her husband at home.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, their house caught on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Their baby's upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
Who's Mercy? Like, what do you think the tactic is? Like, what do you think Mercy and her husband should...
That Mercy's going to scream the baby's name, and either Mercy's running up them stairs to collect that baby, or Mercy's husband is...
Yeah,
or
exactly.
It's like... Again, communication
yeah.
and consideration.
Who's the closest to the baby?
Yeah, who's the fastest
to the baby? Exactly.
Like, if you're quick on your feet, you're gonna quickly go up and
grab the baby.
Who's most agile and like,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean?
I feel like conversations like this need to be had.
Have to be had.
Need to be
and
had.
If,
because
I'm assuming Mercy and her husband, having had this conversation, he wouldn't have felt some type of way
about
wanting to rescue the baby.
Yeah. What
because,
about me? A woman as small as me risking a big man. Me and the baby. Sorry.
No, yeah, because I don't know why I'm going for that, because what do you mean, like, what about me? Can the baby walk? Can the baby run?
He said something. So not even a thing that he's considered. Just something to say to make you feel away. He
people
said
that
something.
Do that.
Something. And not hey. Anyways, yeah.
I saw this video on TikTok where the guy was like, let me look up what this word means just so I can say it like without sounding.
I'm actually having a conversation like that. The next person I'm dating, I'm asking them these questions.
Oh, 100%. I feel like these should be like
date.
Third date
yeah,
questions.
Literally.
Because you can't, in the same way we spoke about like sickle cell
mm-hmm.
and like, you can't go forward without asking these questions and put it on the
yeah.
table, because I don't want to get however many years down the line
and
then
I realize
you suddenly
that
turn
around
like,
yeah.
self-centered. You're self-centered. Like, the baby.
That we've made together. Our baby. Not even the. It's ours. Half of mine, half of yours. 50% of each.
Bro. Like, the thing that I saw on TikTok, the guy was like, when he got married, he had a conversation with himself and he literally said he's never going to do anything in this marriage
wow.
that would lead to any sense of reproach.
Mm.
Like, going forward, he wouldn't allow himself to be in settings or situations
mm-hmm.
that would... potentially like
as
you know
yeah.
allow for certain things and I was actually like, because
he's
considerate of his wife
yeah.
that he's entered into this lifelong marriage with, because why like leave the door open
yeah,
because then you want to just go back and argue. I don't understand why people like arguments.
Why leave the door open when a burglar can come in?
Exactly.
Whose fault is it?
Exactly. Who's those who lack consideration and communication?
Because you're only going to consider things that you value, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to leave the door open of the house that you bought. Hmm?
We were literally talking about this when we were walking up the thing, like, when it is your, like, when it's your parents, or when it's someone else's, when it, you don't care, like, obviously you care for it, but you don't
yeah.
care as much. But when it's you, your hard-earned
mm-hmm.
money, your hard-earned grind to get something.
You're going to make sure
the consideration and care that's going to be taken. In the same way,
you even communicate with your inner self.
Exactly. Like, if you've like grinded to be like, if you've worked on yourself so much to like get to a point where you're able to be, okay, I'm ready for a relationship. If you've worked so hard to find and sift all the people that you've come through, interacted with, to be like, I found my person, I found the one that I want to be with, you're going to like care for that and be like, oh my gosh, like this is so much work and intentionality and consideration, communication and effort and introspection has gone into getting to this point. So you're not gonna allow yourself to be in settings or situations that will allow for reproach. And that's just that, to be honest.
Yeah, literally.
So I don't know, with the whole baby thing, maybe it's because they didn't carry the baby. That's why he said that, like, that's why he thought that, because...
Maybe, but doesn't it show the nature of her, like, even though she may have not carried the baby, she still cared, loved, and valued the baby?
No, I'm saying 100%, yeah, for her, because, like, in this hypothetical situation...
Yeah, I know, but he's, like, I don't know, he's just, like, well, I don't...
I guess that's what I'm thinking, is that the detachment, because yeah, he didn't carry it.
Yeah.
Like, why...
But even still, the same... Why are you having detachment from your baby that he may have not carried, but also you allowed this woman to suffer abuse from your family side?
Exactly. And now you didn't witness the abuse that your wife was going through from, like, whether it... Obviously, we're calling it abuse because it's, like, from a lens of she wants to have a kid that, like, they both want to conceive, and... The perspective that we've read from the book so far is very heavy on the wife and the woman to go through all these hurdles and all these hoops to conceive. So, I don't know, like, she's doing all these, she's jumping through all these hoops, she's, like, dealing with all these, like, physical, mental, emotional stresses on a regular.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, now you're saying... You don't want to save the product of what would allow some sort of ease or the stress of your mother who's coming to you every... Yeah, at this point, you know, she didn't know that the mum was going all these times to him with these different women for him to marry and take as a second wife. It's like, you've even gone through that small, but naturally, if your mum was bringing, like... You're married to, you've got a husband. If your mum was bringing like a man.
It's not small.
Yeah, that's not small. So I take that back. Like, that's heavy. That's like a lot. Because obviously, from the perspective of him finding her, you could tell he was in love.
Like, yeah.
The effort was giving like he was in love. So why would you not want to save the product of your love? But I guess maybe because he loves her so much. Because there was a couple, do you remember the couple that I was Josh and Issy?
Mm-hmm.
He said that in, I guess, the dilemma, in childbirth, would you want, obviously, because I guess your husband's going to be the person to decide, would you want them to save the baby or to save you? If it wasn't a situation, because you know sometimes doctors be like, oh, save the mother, or I don't know if it saved the baby, yeah, I don't really understand.
No, but midwives advocate for saving the mother, because midwives care for the mother first.
In that situation, say that wasn't the case.
Yeah.
In a situation where a woman's life is at risk or her baby's life's at risk, should the husband save the woman, his wife, that he loves and cares for, or the baby who's obviously a product of their love?
That is, like, it's a really hard question. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I could provide an answer of, like, save the baby, but in my mind right now, because I don't have one yet, nor have I, you know, built an emotional attachment to one, I could say save the baby instead of myself.
Mm-hmm.
That would be, instead of mercy, that would be like selfless.
Mm-hmm.
But my heart is not with that answer.
Okay.
So the answer I'm going to provide is, I trust that my man will hear from God. Mm-hmm. And I will say, let God's will be. If it's mercy, the one that like passes away,
mm-hmm,
and gives life to the baby, fine. But if the baby is the one that, you know,
mm-hmm,
and mercy retains her life, let God's will be. But it's an answer that I don't know, it's a situation that I don't know, it's hard. Because I know in the past I've said, save me.
save me.
But, yeah, I don't know. I could imagine in the moment you're just like, you know.
You're too out of it.
Yeah, this baby is like, fought so long to be here, why not give the baby the opportunity to live?
It's very much, I don't know, because for the longest time I feel like I'm low-key still, I don't know. I've always been on the side of like, I've lived a lot of life at that point when I would have kids. So I'd probably be like, you know, like save the baby. But again, I've never been pregnant, I've never had kids, so I don't know what that would look like. But linking back to the couple, Josh and Issy, love them. I haven't seen them, I haven't watched them in a while though. When that dilemma came up, he said that he would save her, the wife, because that's his best friend, that's his person. Like that. Obviously, that child is a product of their love and their marriage. But he was like, he was given, he had like that, he mentioned the idea of like, they can have more kids. Obviously, they'll mourn the child that they would have lost.
Yeah.
But he was like, the thought of doing life without his wife is just not, it's just not something that he wants to do. And I think I've seen other like podcasts, like after I heard him say that, like sporadically, a few men being like, yeah, they'd save their wife because, you know, and then sometimes people like, if they have the child and the child looks like the wife, it's a constant reminder of their wife. And it's like,
I feel like, again, this is a conversation need to be had.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be had before you get married because...
But do you think they'll be honest? I guess, because you know how we were saying, like, date three.
Yeah.
Do you think they'll be, like, 100% honest? I feel like a question like this needs to be asked, like...
Before you propose?
Yeah, like, before you get to the point of marriage, but at a point where you guys are not, like... Naturally, we're honest in meeting people, but... I feel like people put their best foot forward constantly when you first meet someone. Yeah. So you may say, will be like, oh yeah, 100% I wouldn't do that. 100% yeah, I would do that, when it's really like...
They do say by the third date, though, you would be able to see the characteristics of the person that you are dating.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be more like more obvious.
Because
I guess, as you said, that they put their first foot forward. Best foot forward when they're like starting to date. But by the third date, I would assume that you would have spoken to them a long while before that, over text, over phone, over FaceTime, and so able to know whether, you know, their answer or their opinion would be true to their self.
Yeah, and match what your values on it are.
So I think maybe the third day won't be too forward.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you could be like, what are your opinions on this? And have that discussion or debate. Because it could be like a deal breaker for some people if they were to choose the mum or if they would choose the baby.
Yeah, it's a hard one because even now I'm thinking like, I feel like it would very much so have to be sat down with like my husband or whatever. Not even, I guess it wouldn't be my husband at that point. I'd have that conversation beforehand because we have to scope out all perspectives, every single one, and be like, but then also you might just sit down and I guess talk to your person and be like, suddenly, but if you're just like, yeah, saving you, or yeah, saving the baby, and it's just done deal. So, I don't know. But yeah, guys.
Yeah.
That's it for today's episode. The book is going really well.
It's
going really
well,
like
yeah.
It. It's really, it's like a very heartfelt book and 100% recommend you guys should read it.
Yeah.
But
again, to reiterate, the book's called Stay With Me by
Ayobami Adebayo.
Yes.
If you wanna have it, well, if you wanna buy it and read along with us, you know, don't be shy. Comment down below if you get it and let us know how you find it.
Mm-hmm.
But
you can find us on Instagram at
Years In Between.
And on TikTok at
Years In Between Pod.
We've put our
pop it up here like I'm sure up here somewhere.
But guys, please don't forget to like, share and subscribe. It would mean the absolute world to us if you were to do that, just a very small gesture. Like,
and if you're listening.
Yes, please don't forget to rate us 5 stars.
And if you want to follow Yacinta on Instagram, follow her at...
Years in... I mean, yeah, follow at Years in Between, period. But my Instagram is at YacintaJoeyX.
And my Instagram is at LorettaMaria_. So, follow us there if you like. But yeah, guys, we'll see you next week. Hope you're having a lovely day, evening, lunch, when you're listening to this or watching this. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.